You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition, joined by Adam McKelvey, Brewers beat writer, and taking a look at a Brewers team that is probably more set than most going into the hot stove season. Doug Melvin at the GM meetings talking to him, he said we could play a game tomorrow. We've got six starting pitchers. We know who we're going to have at every position. Just kind of making some fine-tuning moves. And one move they did make, though, Adam, picking up the son of former Braves general manager Frank Wren, outfielder Kyle Wren, who played in the fall league. What's your scouting report on the younger Wren?
Very good defensive center fielder, a lot of speed, and really an opportunistic pickup by the Brewers. They were a little reluctant when I talked to people from the club to get into this too much, but, you know, they saw Frank Wren dismissed in September. His brother, a scout for the Braves, was dismissed. And I think the Brewers just put in a call to just gauge how the Braves felt about having the son of Frank Wren in their system and whether there might be, you know, whether it might be a little uncomfortable and whether they might look at making a deal. And, you know, weeks went by, they exchanged a bunch of names, and they were able to come to a deal. And for the Brewers, it's a guy who the scouting reports I see seem to indicate that this kid has a chance to play in the big leagues as a fourth outfielder, you know, perhaps, maybe more. You never know with the player. But he's moved really fast in 2 years in the Braves system, and he has a chance to move fast for Milwaukee now. Outfield is one area where the Brewers are actually pretty strong in that farm system. Their number one prospect, according to us at MLB.com, is Tyrone Taylor, who's a true center fielder as well. They have some guys in the corners who are interesting, including Clint Coulter, a former first-round draft pick who just converted from catcher in the Arizona Fall League. So they've got some interesting names now in the outfield mix, and I think Kyle Wren will definitely join that list and be among the Brewers' top 20 or so prospects.
Hey, sticking in that outfield, just looking at the roster and talking at the general manager's meeting, wondering if the Brewers could look at it like they have an outfielder to trade. I mean, certainly counting on Ryan Braun to come back from that surgery on his thumb, strong to go along with Carlos Gomez. And now they have, in addition to Chris Davis, picked up Gerardo Parra at last year during the season. They strictly look at Davis and Parra as an outfield platoon, or along with having Logan Schaefer there too, could they possibly move an outfielder, say, to add an impact kind of a reliever?
Yeah, you know, Phil, they could. The interesting thing about this Brewers team, and you alluded to it right off the top, is you can do that for this team at lots of different positions. Because as Doug Melvin said, we've basically got a team, and, you know, minus the usual bullpen moves that every team makes every offseason, he's right. Their starting rotation looks set with six, you know, accomplished guys. Around the diamond, they've got a player at every position with the addition of Adam Lind to first base, and they could play a game tomorrow. The question is, and when Doug Melvin made those comments to you, most of the feedback I got when people responded to that was, would they be any good if they did that? And that, of course, is the most important question. It's one thing to have a team set. It's another to compete for the division, which this owner has made really clear he believes they should do in 2015. And where Doug Melvin is at now is he has this roster. He's not, as he was last year, facing a big hole at first base that he needs to fill. He doesn't, like many teams, have a big gaping hole in the starting rotation. So he's got the luxury of having his people come up with ideas. This is what they love to do. They sit in that war room during the winter and they brainstorm all sorts of ideas. Some of them are crazy and never go anywhere. And some of them lead to talks that you can sit down with another GM in the suite at the winter meetings and maybe you've got something. And I think the outfield is one place where most clearly they have the feasibility to make a move if you're just looking at 2015, because Gerardo Parra is arbitration eligible. He obviously can play if he's your everyday guy. He's proven he's a pretty good big league player. And you know, they've got the flexibility to make a deal right there. Now, whether they do it or not is another question. He is a free agent after next season. Chris Davis is a young power hitter that is at a premium now in baseball. See Giancarlo Stanton. And the Brewers would have to face the question of if they make a move for 2015, how much would that cost them down the line? So, you know, I think that it's a really interesting time to be working in the Brewers front office, and that you've got, you know, on one hand, you've got a team set. On the other hand, you've got a completely blank canvas, and you can come up with a lot of different ideas to try to make this team better.
Yeah, my, you know, I guess it comes down to, and I get the feedback of fans, you know, Brewers fans frustrated and questioning the roster that they have. You know, it comes down to, do you believe the team that was good for really most of 2014 or the team that collapsed at the end to wind up having a losing record in the second half of the season? And, you know, going back and looking at the season, Adam, I was, you know, I know the first half, second half record differential, but I was really struck by how much of that second half was just at the end, you know, that losing 13 of 14 starting August 26th. And the feeling I get, you know, it seemed like Mark Antanasio, the ownership, took a hard look at everything after that season was over. And when they made the decision to bring Ron Renneke back, not to make any major changes with the front office, it was kind of like, say, buying into the team that was there going into August 26th and was positioned for the playoffs. And, you know, just going to give those guys a mulligan and figure that things happen kind of in a random nature in baseball. And this team is going to be good enough to compete as put together. Is that kind of the same way you look at it?
That is probably a way to look at it, because if they had felt that there was something bigger going on, I think there would have been bigger changes than firing the hitting coach and the first base coach. So I think you're probably right about that. Another way to look at it is going into last season, Phil, you did the preview for the NL Central. Didn't you have the Brewers fourth at around 500?
Yeah, they were no question not unlike maybe the Royals in the American League. I mean, they were a surprise team, you know, when they jumped up and were playing so well. And you look at the guys they were doing it with, they're pretty much established, proven players. It kind of made you think maybe we should have seen them coming a little bit. But I think this is a strong division, and you know, unless you're the Cardinals, you're going to have a real chance to sneak up. But to your point, no question, I think they were an overachiever, a really surprise team for most of the season, yes.
So I view this sort of as maybe they were a team in the middle. And, you know, they were not as good as they were early last year. They were not as bad as they were late last year. And if you kind of look at it that way and you look at the pieces that they do have in place, you can see why Doug Melvin and his staff would have some reason to believe next year could be better. You've got Giovanni Gallardo in a true contract year, Kyle Loesch in a contract year. Those two guys are at the top of your rotation. You've got Ryan Braun theoretically healthier after getting that thumb issue addressed surgically right after the season. He should be more productive than he was. You've got two key young offensive players in Scooter Gennett at second base and Chris Davis in left field, who will be in their second full major league season. And if you look at the track record of players, they're usually better in their second full season. One exception, their shortstop Gene Segura last year had a poor second season. They think he's a better offensive player than he showed last year, and he had the personal issues, heartbreak off the field. So he, they believe, could be a better player next season. And you start to add all those things up, and now you've got Jonathan Lucroy established as one of the top, you know, potentially one of the top three catchers in baseball, at least in the National League. You've got Carlos Gomez established now as a real threat. There's reason to look and say, yeah, this offense should be better next season than it was in the second half, particularly of 2014, when they were one of the three lowest scoring teams in baseball. And I think that is kind of that's why they let the emotion get away a little bit. They took a couple of weeks after the season and then really had a hard analytical again, emotion-free look at what happened, and I think they feel like there's reason for optimism, and that is why, so far at least, we haven't seen them break this team down and start over. They're rather going to add a couple of pieces here and there, first base being the biggest one, and try to compete again. But as you said, this is a really challenging division. The Cubs are coming on now. There are no easy teams in this league anymore, and that's why I think it is a fair question of Brewers fans to ask that fundamental question. Yes, you can play a team now, but is it any good? That still, to me, is a worthy debate.
Hey, let me throw one name at you, and then we'll hop off. But a guy that we haven't mentioned yet, that when I take a look at the Brewers, just sets up to me as a 2015 difference maker, or a guy that gets you over the top, and that's Matt Garza. You know, in my head, he was a disappointing addition last year. Didn't do what he had been expected to do. But you break it down and you look at it, other than the fact that he did spend time on the disabled list and threw 163 innings instead of 200, the metrics are pretty good when he pitched. The 3.64 ERA is fine, and a very low whip, 1.18. If this guy could ever just get right and throw 200 innings, which, you know, is certainly the risk the Brewers took on signing him. He hasn't had a 200-inning season since 2010. But if, you know, if the season started tomorrow, he would be the guy that I would look at and say, here's the guy that can make a difference. You agree or disagree?
Yeah. Oh, totally agree with you, Phil, because I think he pitched exactly to the scouting report. When healthy and on the mound, electric. I can, off the top of my head, remember four or five games where you're starting to think no-hitter, and fifth inning, sixth inning rolls around, and he's working on a no-hitter. That's the type of pitcher he is when healthy. But, as you said, a stint on the disabled list, and that's become an annual, you know, a rite of the season for Matt Garza. I think you just sort of have to live with that for him, and if it doesn't happen, it's a bonus. And we're not talking about a guy who's not in shape, doesn't take care of himself. I mean, it's been fluky issues that have sidelined him in recent season. This year it was the oblique. That, I think there's plenty of evidence when you look at other players who've dealt with this in the last 5-10 years. This is not a workout problem. This is just a fluky injury that happens to these guys now that they're more jacked up than they were, in the 1950s when guys were coming to spring training out of shape. So, I don't know, Phil. I sort of feel like if you get 175 innings out of Matt Garza, that might be about right. And there are 175 really good innings, and you're right to say the metrics love him. There was a case for him to really be the Brewers' pitcher of the year if you go just based on some of the metrics. And then you hope that you have solid guys in those other positions to pick things up when and if he goes down. In last season, the Brewers actually did so. They brought in Mike Fiers, who was outstanding again for the Brewers. That's not the reason that they fell off in the second half, that Matt Garza got hurt. It was really an offensive problem. So if the Brewers have some depth in starting pitching, which they feel like they do, they should be able to overcome the fact that Garza is going to miss some starts, and you hope that time is just relatively brief.
Well, Adam, thanks very much. We're heading toward the winter meetings, and I know the Brewers still looking to add some something to the bullpen, maybe the veterans start some starting pitching depth somewhere. Maybe if it's a minor league signing, guys that they could go from being six deep with starting pitchers to where they could say they're seven or eight deep before spring training rolls around. So still some things to do, even though they see this team is set. Thanks very much for joining us, Adam. This is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.